That bass, though.
I told somebody, I was completely kidding, so don't take this the wrong way. I told somebody, hey, if the whole church thing doesn't work, we've always got a club just waiting to happen. I mean, boom, boom. Joke. It is a joke, people. Anyway, good morning. I'm glad you guys are here. We are wrapping up our series called Dot Communism today. Just to kind of catch you up to speed if you've missed any of it, communism obviously is kind of a totalitarian state of control. Kind of, you know what a dictator is, right? They want to control your life and everything about your life, your social life, and then obviously your financial well-being and all of that stuff. So that's kind of where the idea of communism came from. And then we kind of, well, you know, we're clever sometimes, every once in a while. Not very often, but when we are, it's good, right? So the dot-com is obviously technology and media and the way that we consume social media and all of that stuff. And so let's just be honest. If we're not careful, social media will control us if we don't control it. And that's kind of the byline or the tagline or whatever the kind of line you think that it should be. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap this thing up with some really practical. We talked about, you know, the dangers of it, and we talked about how pride can be at play and all of that stuff. And Daniel did a phenomenal job last week. Respect. I meant to set him up the week before with letting you guys know that the most proficient pontificator in the world was going to be here, but I forgot to do that, so I did it after the fact. So anyway, seriously, great job, Daniel. We appreciate it. As Tavian would say, thank you for that. That's my son. And so today what we're going to talk about is just some of the really practical aspects of this, and what we're going to call it is the rules of engagement. And so it's going to be kind of parameters. And here's the deal. Look, I know that you're going to leave this place and you're going to live your life. People ask me for advice all the time, and they don't really give a crap what I have to tell them, right? Like, I'm just telling you how to. People always ask me about, what should I do with my girlfriend? Break up with her. I promise you, that is my stock answer. If you're having those kind of issues with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, break up with them. Like, because you have no shot of making it into marriage if you're having those kind of problems with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. I'm just telling you. So don't come asking me for advice unless you want to hear me tell you to break up with them. And so anyway, the point is just simply that people don't ever listen to the advice that I give them. Because what happens, just give me a minute here, okay? I have an opportunity to vent, and I'm going to seize it, all right? So people ask me what they should do. I tell them to break up. 6 months later, they're like, man, you were right. If you would have listened to me in the first place... I digress. Yeah, 6 months of pain and suffering. So we've just tried to make it very clear that social media is not bad. Technology is not bad. I love technology, and social media has a lot of capabilities that are good. This whole series is all about balance. It's just about balance. Don't overconsume. Anything that you, how many of you know food is a fantastic thing? If you over, yeah. Listen, I've already got my birthday planned out. It's next month, and we're going to eat meat. Like, all you can eat meat. Food is fantastic. But here's the deal. If you overconsume food, you're going to have a problem. You know what the number one killer of Americans is? Heart disease. You know what the source of heart disease is? We like to eat too much, and we don't really like to exercise. I exercise so that I can eat. That's another story. But the point is just simply that this whole thing is all about balance, and we got to know how to balance. We got to know kind of the rules of engagement. So what we're going to do is give you guys some practical handles, how to handle this. We're going to do a series one day called Love Handles. Isn't that going to be, that's going to be legit. Like, how to handle relationships and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, and the bumper's going to be us running around grabbing people's love handles and getting slapped. So, without further ado, these are the rules of engagement. Now, some of these are more serious than others, and we're just going to start with the gusto. This is the first one. Don't drink and drive, and I put that in parentheses. Let me ask you a question. No reasonable, sensible person would tell you that it's okay to get drunk and get behind the wheel of a car. Nobody would do that. But we get behind the wheel of a car. I saw somebody do this the other day. I thought it was really cool. It didn't work the same way for me as it did for him. Everybody's like, whoa, and you guys are like, you're an idiot. Appreciate that. But we get behind the wheels of our car and we text and drive, right? Do you know that statistics say that it's as dangerous, or in some cases more dangerous, than being inebriated to text and drive? If you text and drive, this is what you do. On average, the National Traffic Safety Highway Administration or whatever other bureaucrat, I mean, we have so many organizations, they found that texting and driving is actually more fatal. It causes more accidents than drinking and driving does. And it's not just like a little bit more, it's like significantly more. If you text and drive, you take your eyes off the road for 4.6 seconds on average. And if you do that, it's equivalent to putting a blindfold on your head and driving the length of a football field at 55 miles an hour. Nobody, like, if we just let's just stop for a minute. Like, we're logical people, we're smart people, we're intelligent people. Is that a good idea? No. But somehow, and dude, listen, this is the pot calling the kettle black, because I'll do it sometimes. Like, we're logical, we know better, but we still convince ourselves that somehow or another it's okay for us, right? Because we're better drivers than those other morons until you hit somebody, until you hit a kid riding a bike, right? It's just, I mean, it's just not worth it. Like, it's just not, just, like, we've got to stop and think about some of these things. And so here's the deal. This is where kind of it's a dance, right? There's responsibilities on both sides. So when we text people, because we demand instant gratification, if you don't text me back in 30 seconds, I'm hacked, right? At least my wife is. See, this is, we have a house of double standards. If I text Shelly, give or take an hour, I will get a response. If I don't text her back immediately, game on. Sleep with one eye open, you know? But anyway, this is the point. Like, we've got to be patient enough with people to know that they don't immediately text you back. They just might be driving, and they probably don't want to smack a freaking kid on a bicycle. Really? I mean, come on, let's just stop and think. It's okay if you're okay if they don't text you back immediately. And you're not so important that you have to text them. You're not the president of the United States. Like, I mean, Iran is not going to attack us if you don't text them back. Like, you're not that important. I'm not that important. And so what we got to do is we just got to give each other some space. You know, it is amazing to me that we survived as humans and humanity has thrived for thousands of years without an instant response from a text message. OMG. Right? I mean, we had carrier pigeons. And people made it somehow. And then, like, the Pony Express. And somehow, humans survived all of that. Like, listen, I'm going to date myself a little bit. When I was in high school, I had a pager. And it wasn't just any pager. Anybody have a pager? Tell me you had a pager. Not because you're a nurse and you're on call and you're important, but, like, you're just a loser and you want a pager and you think you're a boss. Right? So I had a pager, and it was cool because it was, like, clear, and you could see all the internal components, and I thought I was the man. And so what we would do, this is how, because, you know, you couldn't just say, hey, where you at? We're going to meet here, right? Like, you have to make predetermined plans where you're going to meet your friends. So we would you would send a phone number. You know how you probably don't even know how pagers work. Let me back this thing up. So a pager, you call a number, that's the pager number, and you put in your phone number so they know where to call you back. Like, it is so antiquated. And so what we would do is we would put our phone number and then a little code that everybody would know it was me that was calling. Mine was 00724. Man. If only I could go back and change a lot of things. And so anyway, you know what? We made it. We survived. Nobody died. And so the point is just simply that, man, we've got to give each other some space and give ourselves some room to not have this instant gratification. And if they don't text you back, it's okay, because maybe they're driving. And if you don't text them back immediately, it's okay, because you're not that important, right? Hello? And you may think this is a strange thing to talk about in church, but here's the deal. Like, God absolutely cares about every aspect of your life. And if somebody were standing outside that room, out that door, with a gun, danger, right? Inherent danger. There's a problem. Like, God would care about that, wouldn't he? I think that he would care about that. And so I don't think that it's any less, or I don't think it's a stretch to imagine that God cares about something that's dangerous and can harm us. It says in Luke chapter 12, verse 7, it says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Like, God has taken the time to count how many hairs you have on your head. He knows exactly how many strands of hair you have on your head. If he cares about that, he cares about you and your overall well-being and your safety. God is always referenced to as our father. Like, what father wouldn't care about his 16-year-old daughter that's texting and driving? Like, why wouldn't he care? You're a moron if you don't care. And God is an incredible father, and he cares about it. So we just got to remember, man, just give each other some room and some space. It's okay if you don't make it. So that's the first rule of engagement. I don't know. You probably don't like, you don't want to hear it. And if you don't want to hear it, there's a reason you don't want to hear it. And we'll leave it at that. The second one is this. Go to the cleaners for that. Okay. We're adults. We're responsible, right? You guys can handle this. Don't put your dirty laundry on Facebook. Nobody wants to see your underwear, okay? And I'm not talking about selfies. I mean, that, nobody wants to see that either. Remember what we talked about last week? Put some clothes on, right? But that was 2 weeks ago. Sorry, Daniel. I didn't want to impose any of that on you. Don't air your dirty laundry on Facebook or Twitter or for all the world to see. If you got beef with somebody, you know what you do? You go talk to them. Be a mature, responsible adult and talk to them, not to all of your virtual friends about how stupid they are, right? Some people just feel the need to let everybody in the virtual world know about any problems that they might be experiencing. Just like, here's the deal. If somebody did you wrong, at that point, you've got a choice to make. You can be either mature or you can be a junior high, immature. If you're in junior high, just disregard that. You can be immature like most junior hires are, except for you, with the exception of you. Man, and this is how I've seen this play out. I've seen people going through divorces or breakups or, you know, relationships or whatever. And dude, they will just get on Facebook and they will just blast the other person. What are you, three? Like, because here's the deal. If you've been in a relationship for any length of time, you've probably developed some mutual friendships. Then what you do is you put them in this awkward position because you make them choose between one or the other. What if they don't want to choose? You're the one that had to break up, not them, right? And what about your children? Like, and I'm not saying it. You guys are incredible. You got all this under control. Other people. When we're talking bad, it's about other people. When we're talking good, it's about you, okay? So other people, what they'll do is they'll start blasting their ex, and they've got kids. Like, kids aren't stupid. Kids know this stuff. I was kind of put in a position growing up. My parents divorced when I was really young. And it was like they always pitted me against whoever I was with was always talking negatively about the other one. And then, like, I don't know if they meant to or not, but it just kind of forces you to have the same feelings of bitterness and resentment towards them that parent that you're with at the time has. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I know that most of us probably came from divorced houses, and it sucks, but that's the way that it is. And so just don't be irresponsible or immature when it goes down like that. I've seen people, on the other hand, handle situations like this with such poise and maturity. They follow their mama's advice. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Like, how incredible would our world be if everybody didn't feel the need to be vindicated by their words? Because, like, what does that really accomplish? Like, all you typically do is add fuel to the fire, because if you say something about somebody else, they feel the need to say something else back to you about what you said to them, and you feel the need to say something to them about what they said to you about what you said to them. And the cycle continues. And it's just stupid. It's so dumb. Like, just don't put your dirty laundry on Facebook. When you take the time to not say anything, because silence can be so powerful, it kind of reminds me of this guy that we tend to idolize around here named Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 7, it says this. If you just think about the power and the weight and the timing of this, it says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. And, like, this is Isaiah 53, if you kind of read it in the context, it's talking about, you know, the time that Jesus was going through all of the suffering that he went through, and obviously, ultimately, the crucifixion and all of that stuff. And so he was going through all of that. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Somebody says something about your shoes, and you're going to get on Facebook and blast them. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. You know, anytime that something is repeated, it's kind of because it's important. Like, so it says, he did not open his mouth. He did not open his mouth. There's a lesson in there for us. And here's the dude, it's so easy. Like, how many of you know, like, let's just be honest, probably the vast majority of us, when somebody says something stupid, you want to say something stupid right back. Stupid is as stupid does, right? But it's so much more mature to bite your tongue, have some poise, show the world what grace looks like. We can show the world that there's still such a thing. The third one is this, and some of these are similar, but we'll try to distinguish between them. The third one is, don't be a fool, and we'll explain what a fool is in a minute. But we're going to do a Rocky IV reference first. I pity the fool, right? Mr. T, that's old too. You youngins, man. To argue with somebody, here's the deal. This is how this plays out. To argue with somebody on social media is one of the dumbest things that you could possibly do. Like, what are you doing? Like, see, come on. Listen. What are you doing? You're arguing with somebody on Facebook. You're a loser. I mean, I love you. Them. Not us. Them. Don't argue with people on Facebook. That is these things like that. Do it. Because you're the one that kind of gets sucked into it, and it's just not worth it. Don't get sucked into this. Nothing good. I have never seen anything good come from these conversations. Never. And if somebody says something that you don't agree with, get over it. That's life. Like, that's just the way that it is. We all have different differences of opinions and differences of backgrounds and the way that we were raised and the way that we believe. Just suck it up, okay? You don't have to argue with people on Facebook. So that one was short but sweet, I hope. The third one, this is the fourth one. I can count. I went to Diana. The fourth one is this. This one is going to be fun. Don't set traps for people. And I'll explain what a trap is. This is what I've seen people do. You may have seen this. If not, I will enlighten you. They'll post something. I'm just going to use Facebook again. People will post something on Facebook because they want to know what other people think about something. They innocently post something on Facebook because they want to know what you think about it. When they know dang well and good that everybody's going to have differences of opinion, that it's going to get heated. And this is what I've come to the conclusion of. When people do this, all they're looking for is some kind of weak validation from the fact that their stupid post got 50 comments on it. My humble opinion. Hashtag humble. Like, really? I mean, what good comes from that? Because this is, again, what happens is, you know, so-and-so will go back and forth with so-and-so, and I believe this, and you're wrong, and you can't back this up, and this is what I believe, and this is what the Bible says. What the Bible says is over here, so we got to disagree because the Bible says this and this and this. And you got to look at the context, but you don't have time to look at the context because you got to post it all right here on Facebook, and it's stupid. Like, there's absolutely no value in it. And if you kind of look at the other side of it, like when it tells us in the book of Philippians, it says, look for things that have value and dwell on these things, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is noble and just. Focus on these things. And when you put something like that, you're not focusing on those things, and you're also distracting other people from focusing on those things. You're just being a very selfish. Stop. Collaborate. And listen, Ice is back with it. This is how you go about it. If you want to talk to somebody, go talk to them. You have this thing called a boca. It works. Talk to them. And this is what's fascinating. You know, I've had conversations with people that I completely disagree with. And even after the conversation, I completely disagree with them. But you know what? It's funny. I didn't mean to. There was a personal story in there. And I didn't mean for there to be, but it happens sometimes, right? And even after the conversation, like, we disagree, but at least we know where the other one is coming from. You have a better understanding of why it is they believe what they believe and why it matters to them and all of that stuff. So it's kind of valuable and important for you to understand that the best way to do this is not to set traps on Facebook. The best thing you can do is go talk to somebody face-to-face, and then maybe then you can understand them a little bit better. You have a better understanding of why they believe what they believe. So don't set traps. Don't get caught in traps. Again, this whole idea of silence can be really beautiful and really powerful. The next one is this. We've got six, just in case you guys are freaking out right now. The fifth one is this. No anonymous shots. I mean, come on. Let's think about this for a minute. You are so brave and so courageous that you are going to get on your computer and you're going to trash somebody and not put your name. You should go join the army. You need a Medal of Honor. You're a winner. Right? I mean, come on. Like, what are you doing? And this is what's so freaking embarrassing. Like, Christian people will do this. I had somebody, and there are other ways for this to happen. I had a conversation one time. Like, if you live, you're going to have conflict conversations, right? where there are things that you just have to address and you got to talk to people about stuff, and maybe they're not pulling their weight or maybe you're not pulling your weight, and so people talk to you and there's always conflict conversations, so just get used to that. And so I had a conflict conversation with somebody one time. 30 seconds later, like couldn't have been 30 seconds later, they posted something on Twitter. It was a quote, clever, about pride and arrogance, because they just got corrected. And so I called them, neutral, gender neutral, whatever. I called them. I was like, what the crap is this? They're like, oh, no, that wasn't about you, man. You know, I mean, it's just like I saw it and I thought it was real. When did you have time to see it? Because I just left the room. It's weak. Like, you are a cow-erd. If you do, I mean, seriously, what good, what value, what do you accomplish? And here's the deal, coming back to this whole thing, like, if you don't live by the same set of standards that Christians are supposed to live by, that's fine. It's fair game. But for us as followers of Jesus, here's the deal. You've got a choice to make. You choose life, you choose death. You choose to build people up or you choose to tear people down. You focus on the good or you focus on the bad. The choice is simply yours. And I think that if we're just smart enough to look at it or take the time to look at it, we'll know what choice we want to make and we know what the right choice is. There's a better approach, and a better approach might be Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says this. This is so good. Man, if we could live this, like our world would look completely different. It says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words makes tempers flare. And isn't that true? Like, have you, man, I have screwed this up so many times. Like, most of the time, I'm really good. I'm but sometimes somebody say something, I'm like, and you're like, I don't know, your eyeballs get hot, and you're like, your ears start turning red, and you just gotta say, and you know you shouldn't say anything, but you say it anyway, and you're afterwards, you're like, crap, right? A gentle answer turns away anger. It deflects anger. But if you choose to allow, if you don't use the prefrontal cortex and you choose to allow whatever it is that you want to say to come out, like, you're going to have to deal with the anger of the situation. So sometimes it's better just to shut up, and especially if you're trying to do it anonymously. Don't ever. If I ever, oh my gosh, new rule. We institute rules around here all the time. If you ever post anything anonymously and we find out who you are, throat punch. Fair? All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Leave. So that's the fifth one. No anonymous shots. I mean, and again, I know these are really practical. Some of them are obvious. They should be, at least. The last one is this, and this is kind of how we started the conversation. Have balance. It's just, that's, if nothing else, if you don't hear anything else that we say today, listen to this. Like, have balance in your life. Don't let every waking and available moment that you have be used staring into a 4.2-inch screen. Like, have balance in your life. Dude, get on social media. I don't care. Like, look at your news feed. Free your mind? I don't know. Look at your news feed. Do whatever you got to do. But then also, spend time with people, real people. And when you're around real people, talk to those real people because they're real. They have feelings and emotions and all of, I mean, like, I know that sounds so stupid that we have to remind people to talk to people. But we do, because we've been to restaurants lately, and we know that most restaurants look like this. I bet people don't eat as much food as they used to because they don't have time. Like, I don't know. I can't back that up. But the whole goal of this series is simply this, for us to not succumb to the shallow societal norms, like the way that society is going and trending and just being so consumed with social media and technology and all that stuff, or as the Bible would say it, just to be set apart. Like, look, if everybody else is doing it, that doesn't, what did your mama say? Like, man, mom seemed so dumb at the time, but now they're really smart, right? If everybody else was jumping off a bridge, would you jump off the bridge? And you're smarter, like, and you're like, yeah. But you know dang well and good that you wouldn't. Like, just because everybody else is doing it, just because everybody else has got, you know, 40,000 forms of social media. It's like a new one comes out every week, and they got to get on the craze, and now you've got 13,000 things to keep up with. Like, I mean, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that you have to do it. There's this interest in coming back to having real relationships and real conversations. Do you know what happens? There's these fascinating things that go on inside of us, inside of our brains. When you're having human interaction, like, say, for example, I ran up to Kesley here, beautiful man, and shook his hand or gave him a hug, which we tend to do sometimes, bear hugs. There's a chemical that's released in your brain called oxytocin. And it's a happy chemical. It's kind of like endorphins or dopamine or one of those. And what happens is over time, when you develop relationships with people like that, but you know, with these human interactions and human touch, it releases these happy chemicals in your brain. You know what you don't get that from? Your phone. You don't get it. And I have seen this, and you couldn't convince them of this, but I've seen people that are depressed, and all they do is look at Facebook all day. You wonder why. Maybe there's other stuff going on, and you know, I believe that some people need to go get all that stuff checked out, and you know what I'm saying. But I don't think you're helping your cause if that's all that you do. I think that it's really, really important for us to have relationships, to be present in our relationships, to listen to what people are saying so that people will listen to us when we're talking as well. I saw this video. You guys may have seen it on Facebook, of course. How many conversations begin with, "Hey, man, I saw this on Facebook the other day. Check it out." It's embarrassing how much that happens. But at least we're talking to people about what we saw on Facebook, right? And so I saw this video the other day. It is a little lengthy, but I thought it was just a great way to wrap up this series. It's called Look Up. Check this out.
I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet none of them really know me. The problem I have sits in the spaces between looking into their eyes or at a name on a screen. I took a step back and opened my eyes. I looked around and realised that this media we call social is anything but when we open our computers and it's our doors we shut. All this technology we have, it's just an illusion. Community, companionship, a sense of inclusion. Yet when you step away from this device of delusion, you awaken to see a world of confusion. A world where we're slaves to the technology we mastered, where information gets sold by some rich, greedy bastard. A world of self-interest, self-image, self-promotion, where we all share our best bits but leave out the emotion. We're at our most happy with an experience we share, but is it the same if no one is there? Be there for your friends, and they'll be there too, but no one will be if a group message will do. We edit and exaggerate, crave adulation. We pretend not to notice the social isolation. We put our words into order until our lives are glistening. We don't even know if anyone is listening. Being alone isn't the problem. Let me just emphasize, if you read a book, paint a picture, or do some exercise, you're being productive and present, not reserved and recluse. You're being awake and attentive and putting your time to good use. So when you're in public and you start to feel alone, put your hands behind your head, step away from the phone. You don't need to stare at your menu or at your contact list. Just talk to one another. Learn to coexist. I can't stand to hear the silence of a busy commuter train where no one wants to talk through the fear of looking insane. We're becoming unsocial. It no longer satisfies to engage with one another and look into someone's eyes. We're surrounded by children who, since they were born, have watched us living like robots and think it's the norm. It's not very likely you'll make world's greatest dad if you can't entertain a child without using an iPad. When I was a child, I'd never be home. Be out with my friends on our bikes we would roam. I'd wear holes in my trainers and graze up my knees. We'd build our own clubhouse high up in the trees. Now the park's so quiet it gives me a chill. See no children outside and the swings hanging still. There's no skipping, no hopscotch, no church and no steeple. We're a generation of idiots, smartphones and dumb people. So look up from your phone, shut down the display. Take in your surroundings, make the most of today. Just one real connection is all it can take to show you the difference that being there can make. Be there in the moment that she gives you the look that you remember forever as when love overtook. The time she first holds your hand or first kiss your lips. The time you first disagree but still love her to bits. The time you don't have to tell hundreds of what you've just done because you want to share this moment with just this one. The time you'll sell your computer so you can buy a ring for the girl of your dreams who is now the real thing. The time you want to start a family and the moment when you first hold your little girl and get to fall in love again. The time she keeps you up at night and all you want is rest. And the time you wipe away the tears as your baby flees the nest. The time your baby girl returns with a boy for you to hold. And the time he calls you granddad and makes you feel real old. The time you take in all you've made just by giving life attention, and how you're glad you didn't waste it by looking down at some invention. The time you hold your wife's hand, sit down beside her bed, you tell her that you love her, lay a kiss upon her head. She then whispers to you quietly, as her heart gives a final beat, that she's lucky she got stopped by that lost boy in the street. but none of these times ever happened. You never had any of this. When you're too busy looking down, you don't see the chances you miss. So look up from your phone, shut down those displays. We have a finite existence, a set number of days. Don't waste your life getting caught in the net, as when the end comes, nothing's worse than regret. I'm guilty too of being part of this machine, this digital world we are heard but not seen, where we type as we talk and we read as we chat, where we spend hours together without making eye contact. So don't give in to a life where you follow the hype. Give people your love, don't give them your like. Disconnect from the need to be heard and defined. Go out into the world, leave distractions behind. Look up from your phone, shut down that display. Stop watching this video, live life the real way.
Isn't that good? I mean, that's it. Just like, let's have balance in our lives. That's really all that I can ask for. And at the end of the day, I know you're going to do what you're going to do, but just think about it. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful for these opportunities, God, that you've given us. God, just to reflect on our life. God, to see the direction that we're going, to see the course that we're charting out for our lives. God, I pray that we would just take a moment and see if where we're headed is where we want to be, where we want to be in 5 years or 10 years or what opportunities, God, may present themselves that if we're not prepared for them, God, that we'll miss it. God, I pray that you would help us, God, with respect to technology and all of these things, these good things that we have in front of us, God, that we would not allow them to consume us, God, but we would be first and foremost fixated on you and our relationship with you. And God, these people that you've placed in our life, God, these creations of yours that you love so much, God, that we would love them the same way. God, I pray that you would help us, God, to understand the importance of relationships and community and all of that stuff. And none of that ever happens, God, if we're so consumed with these technological devices that we have. God, I pray that you would help us just to be people who love you and honor you and love each other. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.